So this morning, as you've probably heard, we're going to, thank you, Favour, by the way, I meant to say thank you. We're going to have a week off Jude. We'll come back to it next week and finish that off. And what we're going to do this morning is we're going to start the series that will see us pretty much till Easter. I think it's a week or so before Easter, perhaps Palm Sunday. And what we're going to be looking at is the story of two kings. We're going to look at the rise and fall of Saul and then the rise of David. Whoops. However, before we do any of that, let's play a game. So, I'd like some volunteers to make two little teams. I won't say what we're going to do yet, but you know. So I'll just, you know, hey, just couple, yeah, come. Don't hold back. Yes, come. Right, so I don't mind who goes where.
You go that side.
So you're going to go three against one, two against two.
Three against one.
No, two against two, thank you. Okay. I'm going to get away with that one. Right. I'm sure it'll be fine. We will help because we've got lots of helpers this side who will help. We'll be all right. Now, what you're going to do is there will be sounds played over the sound. So, and what you're going to do is guess what the sound is. So, we do one at a time. So you'll go first, and then you'll go second, and then I think there's eight of them, so it'll be four each. And if they get stuck, you're allowed to help, okay, and prompt. So if you have ideas. So we'll have a bit of a team thing. So if they do get stuck, I think it should be all right, but if you don't, then no. We'll give it a go. Anyway, so yours is first. You have to listen very carefully. It's only for a few seconds. And I might, if we're struggling later, I might give a clue. So, Gabby, when you're ready. Gabby, turn it really up. Okay, listen carefully.
I think I know.
Go on, then.
It's either the phone or the fire alarm.
Because it might go on a little longer. Let's give it another go. That'll do.
Train doors closing?
No. They're not quite right. Any thoughts about what that is?
Alarm clock.
Yes, an alarm clock. Yes, exactly. It's an alarm clock. Thinking, but you may not hear it first thing in the morning. Someone else. You.
Alarm clock goes. Beep.
I know. Does not anyone stop it?
Now, can you stop it? And then when it gets to the next minute, it stops.
Can I make a comment? So, the idea is you stop it earlier. Yeah, you stop it earlier than that.
But then you have to press the snooze button and then you have to turn the switch off, otherwise it goes off 5 minutes later.
Oh, this is wonderful. What you hear about people's houses. I've never seen Eleanor go so red in my life. This is very good. I think this is going to go well. Right, so that's 1 point for you. Okay, you might hear the tail end of the last one, but you'll go into the next one. Right, okay, go for it, Gabby.
Kitchen plates rattling.
Yeah, that's right. What are they doing? What do you think is happening to the kitchen plates? You are right. What do you think they're doing? What could you hear? Where could you?
They might be putting them on the table.
Absolutely right. Yes, yeah, absolutely right. Spot on. That's exactly right. No, they're being placed out. Right, okay. So this is your one. Ready to go? Okay. There was a slurping noise, wasn't there? That's right.
Like
what was the What was the tapping?
Oh. I know this sound.
God, you were close. You were really close. There was. Hmm? Go on, what did you say?
What did he say?
I don't know what. I
know it.
What would you tap and then something would come out slurping?
Coconut.
That is true.
Nah.
Think breakfast. Think breakfast.
Drink breakfast.
I can't wait forever.
A bowl.
A bowl.
What goes in the bowl?
Cereal.
No.
Milk.
No. What would you tap? If you were having bacon and...
Egg!
Thank you very much. Egg! Round of applause.
Tapping your spoon!
So it's breaking the egg. It's breaking the egg. Okay. This is going to take a lot longer than I thought. Go on, okay. Get next one. Thank you very much. This is your go. No, it's in the kitchen, all in the kitchen. What have we just broken? Can you hear a sort of... So I've just broken an egg on the side of something. What do you think I've done to it next? Hannah's giving... Yes, round of applause. It's frying the egg. Very good. These are all kitchen things, by the way, you may have noticed. Okay, next one, fifth one. You'll go. Oh, yeah.
Oh, eaten.
No. Not quite, no. Nearly. Got the idea though. No. It's a, what would you do if you're trying to get the mess up off the floor?
Sweep.
Yes, brushing. Thank you very much. Ready?
Sweep.
Ready, it's your go. This is tricky, this.
Tap.
Not quite. Similar to brushing in a kitchen. If you've got something wet on the floor and you've got to get rid of it, how would you clean it up?
Mopping.
That's it. Round of applause. Okay. You got last one. Stand up. Stand up. Come on. Shows if you show something. There we go. Go. Next one. Last one. Last one for you. Oh, yes. You already said this once. Go on.
Washing up
is right. And the last one. This is yours. Okay, Gabby. That's the end. Okay, keep going.
Stinker.
Washing up.
Nearly. No.
Hoover.
Washing up.
Nearly. It could have been the Hoover. It was not.
Yeah.
Something else in the kitchen to do with washing. Big white box. Where you put your clothes.
He doesn't, that's the problem.
No. So, one might put one clothes.
Is it the washing machine?
Yeah.
Washing bowl.
Washing machine. Yes, well done. Round of applause. Well, sit down. Well done. Yes, lots of different sounds. That's four all. Well done. No prompting whatsoever. It was really good. Thank you to the BBC for providing the sounds. I was very appreciative when I spotted that the other day. The thing is, you had to listen hard, didn't you, to get the sounds. It wasn't easy to listen, pick them up, especially in a larger room. When you're listening to it on the net, you think, oh, that's really easy, but actually it's not. And I don't think there's any doubt that I don't think anyone would disagree here if I said that when we listen to one another, actually it's really, really important. It's essential because it forms the basis of the way we communicate. I know we talk as well, but you have to be able to listen, otherwise we can't understand what we're saying. It's a basic way of understanding each other. If we don't listen to each other properly, then we don't know where the other person's coming from, do we? You don't know what the instruction is, you don't know what it is. We might disagree sometimes with what they say, and there's nothing wrong with disagreeing, actually, as long as you do it politely and lovingly. But we want to give them the greatest respect by listening carefully to what they have to say and what their thoughts and feelings are. And I think, I would hope that we, in turn, would also expect the same, are given the same courtesy and respect. And if we don't listen to one another, we find ourselves talking at cross purposes, don't we? We find we don't really understand what we're on about. It doesn't do us any good at all. But also, whilst I think it's important that we listen to one another, and it is important that we listen to one another, it's just as important that it leads somewhere. What we don't just do is simply listen and that's it. We listen to another, we can't just listen to each other and then stay in the same place, can we? I might listen to Joe, happens quite a lot in the house. This might ask Joe, asking me to lay the table for dinner. And I might sort of accept, you know, I've heard her and listened to her carefully and understood she wants me to lay the table for dinner. But if I don't actually go ahead and do it, then it would have been pointless. And Joe will undoubtedly point to many, many times when I was supposed to listen to her and then not done it. She's now grinning at me because she knows exactly what I'm talking about. All the way through the passage that we heard Favour read to us earlier, there are several occasions mentioned where there is some form of listening involved. Either someone is told to listen, or a group of people listen, or a group of people refuse to listen in some form or other. You look at the passage, you'll see listen mentioned a number of times. So what we're going to do for the next few moments is just listen again to the story through the ears of those who are involved. But first of all, a bit of background, because we have to understand how we've come to this place, don't we? You know, it hasn't just appeared. We're in chapter 8, so there must have been something beforehand. Samuel is doing a really great job in leading Israel. It is leadership at its best, I would think. The ark that had been nicked was returned to Israel. The people had turned their back to the Lord, and we are told they served the Lord God only. And this is great news, because it's good news anyway, but also because when they're attacked by the Philistines, their old enemy, Samuel is able to pray to the Lord on behalf of the people, and the Lord answered by enabling Israel to defeat their enemy, and then regained the towns that had been lost previously. Now, however, at the start of the passage, Samuel was old, and he was beginning to think about what's going to happen after he finishes. What does he do? Who's going to take over? So what does he do? He tries out his two sons in the role. And they're hopeless. They're corrupt, and they don't rule wisely. And very soon the elders come to Samuel and ask for a king to be appointed, just like the surrounding nations. Now, the elders' motives, in fairness to them, are not going to be too fair to them, really, but they were partially good, just a little bit good, I think. They were looking for security, but they were looking in the wrong place. Rather than turning to God, they simply looked at the nations around them and foolishly decided that that was the right way to go. We do the same thing. When we're in trouble, we look for help, often in the wrong place. We need to be looking to God. Now, there might be other things that can help us, that's true. But our trust needs to be in the Lord. Samuel is not impressed. So he does the one thing that we should all do if we're troubled about anything. He prays about it. And the Lord God listens to what Samuel is troubled about and gives him an answer. What does God say? He tells Samuel to listen. He says, listen to all the people are saying to you. He reassures Samuel that he doesn't need to take the rejection personally. It's not about him. It isn't aimed at him. No, they rejected their one true king. They'd rejected God himself, as they'd done time and time again in the past. Just like we saw earlier, actually, when we were talking about the Exodus. In the desert, when they're moaning about food and water, they're rejecting God, effectively. But whilst the Lord tells Samuel to listen to them, he also wants to warn the elders of the consequences of their demand. He wants them to know what it's going to be like. And those consequences, those things that would happen, would be grim. Because a king, like the surrounding nations, those kings were horrible. So what would their king look like? Samuel tells them that he will take five things as you go through the passage. First of all, Samuel says, he will take your sons, serving in armies, in fields, producing weapons and equipment. Second, he will take your daughters to serve as perfumers, cooks and bakers. Third, he will take the best of the agricultural land and produce, encouraging corruption, enriching his attendants and officials. And then fourth, he will take for his own use servants, cattle and donkeys. And then finally, Samuel warns, he will take a tenth of your flocks, and you yourselves will become his slaves. There's a rather depressing rhythm to it, isn't there? He will take, he will take, he will take, he will take. But that's not the worst of it. The worst warning is to come from Samuel, as he says that when all these things happen, you will cry out for relief from the king you have chosen. And that king is supposed to turn around and go, oh, actually, you're right. I've got this wrong. I'll give it all back. No. And then you'll cry out to the Lord for help, basically. And what will happen? But the Lord will not answer you in that day. The Lord God will be silent. He will not listen. Now, I don't know about you, but even if I refuse to take that seriously, those he will take warnings, I would certainly take the last one seriously, I would hope. The thought of God not listening to our prayers, not answering our prayers, is devastating, isn't it? It's awful. Dreadful to think about. But those elders don't see it that way. They were all too set on having a king like everyone else. They didn't want to look different. They didn't want to stand out from the crowd. They wanted to be a nation like every other nation, which is not the point, is it? Because you're a chosen people, you're different. And they rejected Samuel's warnings. We are told the people refused to listen to Samuel. No, they said, we want a king over us to lead and fight for them. And once again, they rejected God as their king. Time and time again, it's the same message. It must have been with a very weary heart that Samuel reported back to God. He may well have been looking to God for an answer, an idea that would stop this ridiculous movement in its tracks. But God had been quite clear as he spoke to the elders through Samuel. They'd been warned that what would happen if they chose this route. And he answers Samuel, doesn't he? Listen to them. That word again, listen. Listen to them and give them a king. There's a sort of desperate finality about God's words to Samuel. And Samuel immediately begins preparations by ordering the Israelites to go home. Everyone is to go back to his town, it says. What are we to make of this listening exercise? Well, first of all, I think it's worth noting, and this is an aside thing really, it's worth noting that not all listening exercises lead to a positive conclusion. We sometimes assume that they do, but actually they don't necessarily. But that's an aside. My main thought is this. I mentioned at the start of at the beginning of this that we will be looking at the story of two kings, Saul and David. But that's not true, is it? Because we need always to have in mind a third king, a rejected king, God himself. He was the king who rescued his people out of Egypt, as we heard earlier. He was the people who led his people through the wilderness and into the promised land. He was the king who gave his law at Mount Sinai. And he was the king who the Israelites had consistently rejected to serve other gods. God's true plan for reigning over his people involved a man who would reign over his people forever. David would give a hint of what that man was like, but he was only the shadow, the forerunner of the true and great king who would come from his own line. At the very heart of this story, at the very heart of the Old Testament, is the promise of a saving shepherd king who would be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, and whose kingdom would never end. And that promise is fulfilled, isn't it, in Jesus, King Jesus. In contrast to Samuel's warnings, King Jesus is not a king who takes, but a king who gives. Who came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. King Jesus is a king who serves the least in his kingdom and gives eternal life to those who love and trust him. If we take him as our king, then one day he will share with us the wonders, the blessings of God, the treasures of the true promised land that will endure forever. This is a king who we must listen to. Amen.